5633.
That is, there are actually two teams of scientists that are working for the government, and they're saying, not the governor of Louisiana, they're saying that the actual oil flow from the Deepwater Horizon well is probably closer to 50,000 barrels a day. Whew. I thought that I was seeing lots and lots of oil gush from that live feed that all of us have tuned into. And it sure didn't seem like it was initially 5,000 and then up to 12 to 25,000. So we're all not crazy. It is closer to 50,000. But what does it all mean? We'll talk about it during this hour of America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and all those spots in between. Remember, you're not shut out. This isn't a monologue. It's a conversation. If you want to jump in and be part of the water cooler buzz that's sweeping the nation, please dial these digits. 800-259-5791. Or if you're at work and you're sneaking to the laboratory and you want to shoot off an email, do it. AmericaTonight.net. As we realize, do you know that there are 25 million people in the country that work in the third shift, and you might be one of them. And if you are listening to us, welcome aboard. We're glad that you are. USC, they got hit with a two-year bowl ban. Why do we care? It's just more interesting stuff from the pool of dirty play. We'll also jump into that. The saddest thing I think that is going to come out of my lips during this hour is that the Army is saying that hundreds of bodies were misplaced at Arlington National Cemetery. How awful is that? Because you wouldn't want to get that phone call, would you? So you think you're visiting the grave site of your loved one who you could barely stand to bury, and then you find out that's might not be where they are. Or, geez, we don't know where they are. Oh, and making that phone call wouldn't be fun either on the other end of that. So there's some replacement players coming in to sort it all out. It's just more of the same. And as I said, probably one of the worst stories I've heard. Right from the get-go also, when it comes to working, 12,000 Minnesota nurses launched a one-day workout. Wow. So 14 Minnesota hospitals, they did a show of force. And a lot of people across the country are looking at this as sort of a litmus test as to how the new National Nurses Union can throw its weight around. Because nurses are saying that, and I've seen this firsthand, I just had a mother-in-law who sadly was in the ICU for, I want to say, 65 days, and every day going to the hospital. And they were great nurses. They really took care of her, but I could see that many of them were overworked running from place to place. And this was in the ICU. So nurses are saying that they're being asked to care for way too many patients at a time. And the ratios, the strict ratios, are necessary because they got to protect the patient's safety. And Minnesota and Minneapolis was ground zero. They decided that this was the time to do the walkout, and a number of nurses were hoping they could have simultaneous strikes in California, but they were blocked earlier in the week by a San Francisco judge, so that didn't happen. But 12,000 nurses walking off of the job in Minneapolis, I guarantee they felt that. And, you know, what do you do? They walked off at 7 a.m. They were on picket lines at a bunch of different places, one of the hospitals near downtown Minneapolis, and they had one nurse serenade several hundred others by playing Amazing Grace on bagpipes. You had motorists who honked horns, showed, you know, solidarity, pumping their fists with them and that kind of stuff. Let's see if it does anything. Because what they're saying is nobody's listening. And this has got to be the largest nurse strike in U.S. history, I would say. And, you know, hospitals hired 2,800 replacement nurses. They called in extra non-unionized staff. They reduced patient levels in some hospitals, rescheduled elective surgeries. So good for them. The Minnesota and California negotiations are the largest. And I focus on this because I know there are nurses that listen to us. And the average Minnesota nurse makes about $62,000 a year or $38 an hour. And I like the fact that they're concerned about the patients because they know who's going to get the blame when they can't attend to all the patients the way that they should be able to attend to them. That's the big problem. And they don't want to take the blame for that, and they don't want to do the things that the doctor should be doing. The hospital that I went to, that's what the nurses complained to me about, that they were being asked to do things, care for too many people, and they were being asked to do things that really the doctor should be doing, and that they weren't nurses anymore. They were practically part-time doctors, and I was shocked. I had probably, I want to say three of them said that to me, three different nurses, just an offhanded, you know, off-the-cuff remark, and when they were running around trying to do what they had to do. All right, let's jump to something else that's happening in Washington. It has to do with financial reform. So with reform, bankers are issuing some desperate warnings that the reform could ultimately hurt job growth. That you don't want to go down this direction of reform, at least the way it's being spelled out, because it's you, the consumer, my friends, that will be hit. Senator Richard Shelby, a Republican from Alabama, agrees. He says it's way too intrusive, and this thing got off to a bad start because the Republicans weren't even included.
Unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, it appears that we're off to a rocky start because the base text before the conference was negotiated and compiled behind closed doors and without any Republican participation. In fact, we only received it about 2.5 hours ago. I favor consumer protection. We all do. This new bureaucracy, however, promises to be more intrusive than protective, and that will never be good for the American consumers or our economy.
Yeah, get ready to pay more fees if it is too intrusive and things get too bungled up. However, Senator Chris Dodd, a Democrat on his way out representing Connecticut, disagrees. He says you got to do whatever you can to make this work.
Consumers can still be misled into abusive products. The shadow banking system still operates in the darkness, and taxpayers may still be on the hook should major institutions threaten to bring down our economy once again.
Yeah, we don't want to see that. We know that the banks too big to fail will never wash in the United States of America. That's not going to happen. If anybody gets in front of a microphone and says that again and tries to sell that to any of us, guarantee that person won't be reelected because they'll just be hammered with that quote. No way, no how. 800-259-5791. Let's go to Stu in Kentucky. Hey, Stu.
Kate, I was going to bring up the oil spill, but hey, I'm going to push that aside. First of all, Chris Dodd talked about consumers, and he's really trying to protect them. Well, it's the same jackass that got money for a free house or lower interest or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Countrywide was his friend.
Countrywide, right. So, you know what? When he says, we all know how he lined his pockets, not just the banks. But as far as the nurse thing, man, I've got a comment on that, Kate.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. My ex-wife, God bless her, and I know many people don't say that, but she is the best, absolute one of the best nurses I've ever met in my life. They have great compassion for people, but she works for the VA, and she says it best. In healthcare, they have no business in unions, because maybe the 12,000 are trying to prove their point because they're over patient versus staff. But at the same time, they're walking out on all them patients. So what's that
do
to patients?
All right, let's talk about that next.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency. And I know you are, too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
In 1965, there was a sound. One more time. Got a brand new bag.
All right, we're going to double dip. We normally don't do that, but poor Stu, we didn't give him enough time as we were up against it. So he was in the middle of talking about what I mentioned about the nurses and what's happening on the job and what he was saying about the nurses walking out on the patients. Stu, go ahead. You were talking about your ex-wife being a terrific nurse.
Kate, she's awesome. She's compassionate. And my point is, nurses have a rough job. I don't care if they make $38 or $58 an hour. They deserve the money they make. They pretty much save our lives. When the doctor's not in there, the nurses who you deal with.
Sure.
But at the same time, and I'm not bashing unions, they've got their place in some areas. But my ex-wife works in VA. They've got union there. She did not join the union. It's like she said, there's some places the union's not needed, and she's absolutely right, and I agree. The union is not needed in a healthcare field where you walk off and leave your patients. If you got 12,000 nurses walk out, what was their main complaint? Their main complaint was that there was too many patients per nurse ratio.
Right.
So what do? You walk off and leave your patients. So, in my own opinion, this is just opinion, which, you know, everybody's got one. In my opinion, that doesn't say much for the nurses who walked out. It doesn't say much for the unions as well. So,
yeah, interesting. Yeah. I agree with you about the union thing, by the way. In some cases, I think they're good. In other cases, it's ridiculous. It just, that's the problem with unions. In some spots, they're necessary. In other spots, they're not. In this case, they felt like their back was against the wall, that nobody was listening, and they said that it was rough. It was a rough decision to decide to do that because they were worried, like you said, about the patients, but nobody was listening. They tried to have meetings, and they tried to do whatever they could, but no one would pay attention, so they felt like they had no choice but to do something drastic. Now, here's the real upshot of this, Stu. Does it work? Does something change, or is it no? If they walked out, and so then the hospital had to hire all those people for the day, and everybody had to panic, and they had to change surgeries and all that stuff, and it didn't do anything, then it wasn't worth it.
Well, my thing is, Is it going to just show that, hey, we've got enough power to take these nurses out of your facility and we can get whatever we want if we want to pay increase, benefit increase, whatever it may be? But let me ask you this. For those patients that the nurses walked out on, because when a nurse takes an oath, when they get that license, you know, they're taking an oath to really be there medically, not just there for the dollar or whatever. I mean, there's some kind of just a respect issue, and they didn't go. If they went in nursing for the money, then they're morons anyway, because that's a job. You don't go in there for the money. My grandmother was a nurse. My mother was a nurse. My ex-wife was a nurse. My wife now is in the medical field. But you go in there for the compassion because you feel like you can help, not just for the money aspect of it. And I understand they're going to have rough ways to go, but that's just part of it. And you've got less doctors than you do nurses. So, of course, the nurses are going to have to take up more slack than the doctors. That's just my thing. If they walk out, let me ask you something. When your mother-in-law was in there in ICU, your mother-in-law's nurses walked out, then what do? Then you go from 7-to-1 ratio to 12-to-15-to-1 ratio.
Right.
So if one of them people in one of them hospitals in Minneapolis, God forbid, something happens and dies because they didn't get the care, do they go back on the hospital, or should they be able to go back on the nurse?
Good point. Touche.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, good point, Stu. Have a good weekend. He does point out something. I guess I didn't think about that. That's right. If something, God forbid, were to have happened to anybody because they did have to really scramble, let's say somebody died. The ICU is a good example of that. When people are hooked up to machines and they're watching and monitor the machines, sometimes there's a call for a crash cart or something happens and maybe it's unexpected. They're monitoring all the vitals and they may have X amount of patients, and therefore you would have nurses in critical care, especially where they would know the patient. They'd know what was going on. They know more about their chart. You bring somebody new in, you bring the part-timers in, the people you had to throw in there. Yeah, that would be dicey. And I would think that they could go after the nurses' union. They maybe could go after both, go after the hospital and the nurses' union. But to the best of my knowledge, that did not happen. It did set off a panic, though, because a panic in a way. They knew it was going to happen. They knew they were going to do that. But they had to do something ahead of the curve. So they had to go and hire a bunch of people for that day. They had to have replacement. They had to have replacement nurses that would come in for one day of work and one day for orientation. So it was, okay, we're alerting you about this strike thing, and that's exactly what happened. Now, the Minnesota and California negotiations, too, I think I might have mentioned this, are the largest since the National Nurses Union, United Union, formed in December. And it's an approach that's worked in California, but how does it play out in other hospitals in the United States? It varies. I think all the hospitals are different. The kind of care is definitely, definitely very different. See, and this is part of the whole healthcare debate. When we talked about this for a year plus on America Tonight, the things that were being proposed, we had doctors on, we had other people in the healthcare industry saying, you know, buyer beware. If you're buying into this, everybody needs healthcare. Okay. But look at what truly everybody will get. Look at the problems you're going to have in trying to get hospital beds. And initially, a lot of people were pointing to Canada and pointing to Europe and saying how great the medicine there was. But then you scratch the surface and find out, but that's not true. You talk to our friends in Canada and they say, oh, no, you could, for the simplest of operations, you could be waiting for a bed. So if you want to chime in, feel free to do that, 800-259-5791. Like Stu, I know a lot of people actually that are nurses. My cousin Jen is a nurse, and she's in a Philadelphia hospital, children's hospital in Philly. And I have another friend that's a nurse in Texas, and she's in critical care. And the jobs are, depending on the facility and depending on the shift and whatnot, the jobs can be definitely difficult, and I agree with Stu in that aspect that I don't care what they make. It's not about that. It's about the need, and it's about how good they are, actually. And the fact that so many nurses now, because the doctors, they have these pop-in doctors in a lot of cases, the nurse is the one who treats you. And what's interesting and also and what's happened is a lot of times even when you go to your regular practitioner, somebody else is in there and they follow through. It's like almost like when you go to the dentist, and the dentist, if you have problems with your teeth, they look at the, you know, they look at your teeth or they look at the x-rays, but it's really the hygienist that does the work, that does the cleaning, that does everything else, does the exam. And it's weird to compare teeth, I guess, to general health, but that's what's happening now. When I've gone in just for regular checkups, you see the doctor for like 2 seconds. That's it. Oh, that's right. You're my doctor. And everything's fine. It looks good. Okay. Bye. it's got to be scary, though, when you have a lot of problems, because you have to be able to connect the dots with different healthcare providers. And it's got to be tough to do, frankly. It's like that whole medical records thing, although I'm not for the medical records being chipped and all that other sort of stuff, because while in one sense it could be good because they'd all be at your fingertips, in another sense, ooh, it could be extremely dangerous, especially when you see what's happening with all the hacked in information. All right, we switch from that, and we're going to carry this over into our next segment, a follow-up to what happened at the border with the teenager being shot. Felipe Calderon again condemning the surge of violence, and now we've got videos that are fueling the debate over the death of the 15-year-old boy. And it happened, what was it, Monday, I guess, is when it happened, Monday, early Monday night. And a lot of Mexican politicians are calling for the agent's extradition to face Mexican justice. They're calling Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and demanding that he be extradited to their country. So this unidentified Border Patrol agent, which that's good for him, is still trying to cope with everything that's happened as a result of the shooting on Monday. And I've got more on that and what the video shows and all that stuff, and what happened with the Border Patrol agents and the rock throwing and whatnot. We're going to dive into that. But do you believe it? A lot of the politicians calling for the agent to be extradited to Mexico. Not a chance. Not a chance in hell that's going to happen. Stay with us.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
You're listening to GCN. The Genesis Communication Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Your trusted advisor for clean air.
Of America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you have some great things in store this weekend, like chilling with the family. How about that? Even for just a few hours, maybe you're going to watch the World Cup, even though you really don't care for soccer, but you do want to see the USA kick the butt of England. That's probably where I'm at. I know I'll be watching it. It's an afternoon game. But back to the most infuriating thing that could possibly be said as a result of what happened at the border the other day. I mean, give me a break. Angry phone calls, demands that the Border Patrol agent who shot the 15-year-old boy be extradited to go to Mexico to face their kind of justice. Come on, come on, come on. Please. Now, what happened was there was a cell phone video that showed one of the key moments in the shooting. So now there's been debate over which country has jurisdiction in the case. The Border Patrol agent, who hasn't been identified, was trying to arrest illegal immigrants running into the U.S. He fired his weapon from the U.S. side into Mexico. He killed the 15-year-old Sergio Hernandez Jurica while people on the Mexican side were pelting the Border Patrol agents with rocks. Call it stoning. That's what it looked like to me. It was that bad. It wasn't like, oh, a few pebbles being thrown over. It's something that they always do. What's not very clear is whether Hernandez was one of the rock throwers and whether the agent or the kid himself crossed the border. So shortly after the shooting, Mexican federal police chased Border Patrol agents out of the riverbed with rifles trained on them, while a crowd on the Mexican side taunted the U.S. border guys and threw rocks and firecrackers. It's very grainy, the video. They aired it on, of course they aired it, on Univision in Mexico, and it's edited, some of it was edited, but in it, the Border Patrol agent on a bicycle arrives in the riverbed as a bunch of different men try to run back to Mexico. He gets one on the U.S. side, and once he has him on the ground, fires two shots toward Mexico. The camera then shows what looks like the body under a railroad bridge. So I don't trust the video, really. It's not clear what happened there. But the Mexican president, Felipe Calderon, keeps issuing new statements, and the latest one is this one. He says, "We are worried by the surge of violence against Mexicans, which comes along with a surge of other anti-immigrant, anti-Mexican occurrences in the United States." So their interior secretary picked up on the cues of Calderon, Fernando Gomez, and phoned Napolitano to protest the killing of Hernandez and also a man on the California-Mexico border a couple of weeks ago, demanding that the U.S. and Mexico carry out some new things, a joint review of protocols on the use of force by border officers. And what Gomez is saying is that the unjustified use of force against our population is unacceptable to the Mexican government. So here's the deal, folks. Border Patrol agents get spit on, kicked, machine gunned, whatever. Because, oh, yeah, you know, the drug cartel guys are armed with machine guns when they go through on their portion of the border. The Border Patrol agents are allowed to use lethal force against rock throwers, by the way. That's clear. Because you've had people nearly killed by the rocks. I'll go back to the analogy. It's not skipping a pebble across a pond. We're saying massive pounding. In fact, so bad, in some cases, most of the, depending on the border area, most of the Border Patrol cars now have cages around them on the front because they just smash the rocks through the window. That's what happens. It's that bad. And what the Mexicans, the people in Mexico are furious over this because they're seeing that grainy cell phone video and it's being run all over the place. And Calderon's government is getting hammered for what the people there are calling lukewarm reaction to the two deaths, saying that there's not enough, you know, there's that he's not speaking up enough and this shouldn't happen. Tell you what, I'm worried about a mini revolution. I've been worried about it for a while anyway, happening in some of the border spots already. Juarez is a hellhole, and that is literally a rock's throw away from El Paso. So, you know, it's ridiculous. And to call for extradition, it seems to me they're clearing up the facts, and the U.S. is doing a thorough investigation. And by all accounts of what I've read, I hope they don't just squeeze this Border Patrol agent. Because from my point of view, I don't think he did anything wrong. He was trying to do what he was supposed to do, and he wasn't gunning for that kid. That he just wasn't. So now we're going to get into this whole thing about jurisdiction. What happens when a bullet leaves one country and kills someone in another country? Who has jurisdiction? If it is determined that the shooting was a crime, and if somehow, and let's hope not, God forbid, and not justified the use of force by the Border Patrol guy, then the long legal principle in the United States is that the victim's location determines the jurisdiction. That's what an international lawyer would tell you. So if someone, I read an example of this, and maybe it was on some, I don't know where it was that I saw it, but the example was interesting. If someone fired a bullet from North Carolina and killed someone in South Carolina, you know, who has jurisdiction? Well, of course, the latter has jurisdiction in this case, but this is a little bit different. We're talking about the border situation. Most countries believe they can prosecute anyone who harms one of their people, regardless of the location. So now you got the U.S. and Mexico. There is no treaty that covers this set of circumstances. Guarantee there's going to be probably a push to get one. If the Border Patrol agent went to Mexico for any reason, he could be arrested. And the U.S. would have difficulty in their argument that Mexico was acting illegally. But I don't think it played out that way. I think they're trying to make it look like that's what happened. I don't think so. I don't think so. If the Mexican law enforcement guys kidnapped the agent in the U.S. and took him to Mexico for trial, and the U.S. did, in the case of a Mexican doctor involved in the killing and torture, remember, of a DEA agent, they did that, the U.S. could argue violation of its sovereignty. So it seems unlikely that Mexico is actually going to be able to try the Border Patrol agent, thank God. I mean, this must not be good for him. He's got to be concerned about this. But they could pursue a civil case against the Border Patrol agent, and then, of course, he would be outed. And how much would his life be in danger? I'd have to think tremendously. This is going to be a case where, at the very least, he's probably going to have to leave his job. If Mexico requests extradition, then it would be up to the Obama administration. They're doing their own investigation. The U.S. Attorney General would probably, I'm thinking out loud as I'm saying this, will probably have to assign some kind of a federal prosecutor to represent Mexico's case before a U.S. district judge, probably. Oh, man. Tell you what, it'd be a very sad day if there is any way that this guy gets extradited. I really don't think so. I don't think that happens, but I think his life will be in danger because eventually his name's going to come out, and then that's going to be horrific. Dale in Illinois, you have the floor, my friend. Hello.
Well, Kate, you hit the nail on the head here. I'll tell you, though, you know, I don't trust this president. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we as a government didn't try to prosecute this border agent in some way to appease the Mexicans.
Mm. I hope not. I hope not. That would be ridiculous. Because what are they supposed to do? I've said it, Dale, it's ridiculous what they go through on that border. And that's why they even have the wire cages all around the cars now. It's so bad. I think he acted, and I wasn't there, but from all accounts, it looks as though he acted and did what he had to do. And so this kid got killed, and that's awful, but he was on he was throwing rocks, it looked like.
Well, this kid was a coyote, wasn't he?
Yes, he was taking people in, yes.
Well, the...
He was a smuggler.
Let's add all this up right now, Kate. We got North Korea. The president isn't going to do anything about that. We've got Iran. He's not going to do anything about that. Where is he on the oil spill? And now he meets with
the BP.
The Palestinian president today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's going to give them money.
Yeah.
And who runs that out? Who runs that? Hamas.
Right.
I don't think. I'm just befuddled. I just cannot figure this guy out.
I think you're right. I think that, I mean, we are in serious crisis mode. And a lot of people just don't really realize it, but you just hit it all. You just mentioned all the highlights or lowlights, and it's pretty bad. And the meeting with the Palestinian government, which is Hamas, as you say, which is a terrorist organization, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Come on. Are you kidding? There's Hamas sleeper cells waiting in the United States. You think they wouldn't like to do something here in the West? Come on, give me a break. Thanks. Great call as always, Dale. Appreciate it. 800-259-5791. Speaking of creeps, the latest on Vandersloot next.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at kerostove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Caro Stove, for family emergency solutions.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the eighth leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by a quarter of a million healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide.
Don't wait to protect your liver.
Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
From what's happening on the border, which, by the way, we will have an interesting conversation on our Sunday night show with my pal Jeff Atticott, professor of law at St. Mary's, but more importantly, he's an expert, one of the premier experts when it comes to terrorism. I said this before, he's advised the FBI, he's testified on the Hill to his fury. He's gone to Gitmo, he's been to Mumbai, people are always tapping him for answers to some of the things that are happening, and he's not short of opinions on that. So he'll join us to talk about the New Jersey thugs and some of the other things that are happening, including Hamas and what's going on in Gaza and what is Hamas. The New Jersey guys, by the way, who supposedly were taking planes to Egypt separately, and then they were going to go off to Somalia. They were denied bail. Then naturally they were denied bail. That's not a surprise. But what will be interesting is what is uncovered about their past, the things that led the FBI to really watch them for all those years. And then ultimately, I mean, we know some of it. We know some of the crazy, outrageous things they were saying and how they were doing their own little camps and wanted to get in with a terrorist organization in Somalia, and that was the goal. But what are some of the other things that might have happened to lead them in that direction? I'll be very, very curious. All right, here's a shocker to me. because I figured he'd be mum on this, but Jeroen Vandersloot says he knows the location of Holloway's body, of Natalie Holloway, the poor 17-year-old girl who was on that class trip in Aruba, disappeared, and this Jagoff, I'm going to call him for lack of a better word to call him, led everybody around all over the place, and he was the prime suspect, but nothing could ever stick with him because of the laws and his father being a very powerful judge, Dutch judge, who was able to I think, get him out of trouble. So now this is interesting. Vandersloot told investigators during his interrogation that he knows where the body is, but that he wouldn't identify the location or say what happened the night of her disappearance. That's nice. So see, he's doing the same thing. He's just spewing nonsense out there that he was going to explain everything to the Aruban police, that he was going to do that, that he was twice detained but was never charged in the disappearance of Holloway. And so now it leads to ultimately this nutball kills this 21-year-old woman in Lima, breaks her neck. Apparently her body was in the hotel room and he went and ordered room service and was eating next to her dead body or whatever. But we know he's not right. So Bo Deedle, who pulls no punches, I love this guy. I used to work at the Fan in New York, and he would come in because he was friends with Imus, who was there in the morning, and he would be a guest occasionally. He's probably still a guest on the show. He was a big-time investigator, and he he's got a company, a protection company, and I think he even had a role on The Sopranos, but he threw in his two cents on what's the deal with Vandersloot.
Remember, he was in Thailand. He was all over the world in the last 5 years. I like Interpol and the FBI to find out where else he visited, who else is missing, because this is a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, like I said, he pulls no punches when it comes to Vandersloot. You like that? He's a homicidal maniac. And that's it. But honestly, he deserves to be in this hole in Peru. But the sad thing is, he makes the big statement. So they start to do this. They start to investigate him. And he shoots his mouth off saying that he knows where she is, but he's not going to tell him, and he's not going to say what happened to her. So what does that do to the Holloway family when he spews that out? And this is on purpose. He's doing this. He's twisting this around. So, and that's what I thought. I thought he wouldn't even say that he would never say where she was, because he can do maybe 17 years if he survives it. And then he'll be out of prison. So he breaks her neck, kills the Stephanie Flores, gets only 35. Well, only get up to 35. Probably gets half of that or a third of that. And then he's done. Then he's done. So he's not going to, he's going to taunt and make that kind of a statement. But he's not going to let the mother of Natalie Holloway, Beth Holloway, have the information that I'm sure would make her sleep that much better at night to know. And the weird, oddball thing in this whole deal is there was a document from Interpol, and we talked about this on a previous show, that showed that Vandersloot contacted a representative of Beth Holloway on about March 29th or so to ask for $250,000 in exchange for information on where Holloway's remains were. So he got $25,000 last month. Now, the rep for Holloway's mother who paid the money was an undercover FBI agent, of course. So the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Birmingham, Alabama, they came out and said they didn't supply the money, because then there was some comments about where the money came from. But the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Birmingham arranged for a meeting where he was paid $10,000 in cash, another $15,000 in the wire transfer. So there's confusion over that. The bottom line is they were paying money. So they were trying to set him up, and he didn't. And now he kills this girl, and everything's changed in a different direction. will they ever know where this poor girl was buried or what happened? The answer to that is who knows. I think what happens if he survives prison, somehow he'll make himself where he's out in the news again, and they still won't have the answer to that question that I think would probably help that family. You have to think about it. The loss of a child in the most heinous way and to not know the details, there may be, I think if you know the details, there is some, I mean, it's not going to make you feel better. They probably want to throttle this guy. But I think there is some sort of closure, and they're not getting, they still don't have that closure. It's the where and what happened and what if and blah, blah, blah that runs through your head. I mean, they're human. It's got to run through their head. All right, another story that I haven't even talked about, but it's worth mentioning here because there was concern over this young lady. They have a massive search for this missing teenager that they were worried she was lost at sea. Now, Australian search crews, this is just happening, have made contact with Abby Sunderland, the family is saying, which is good news that they've done that because she's a 16-year-old California girl who triggered a distress signal. She had rough seas in the Indian Ocean, I guess crazy waves that really, really scared her. So she signaled for help, and I think she's gotten that help, thank goodness. That's great news. You think about a 16-year-old girl, and you think about the desire to sail solo around the world and how that's a courageous thing to want to do, but how frightening is that? You let your 16-year-old daughter sail around the world. I don't know. I mean, I like the idea that she had the guts to do it, but then I would be scared to death that some crazy thing would happen. So she was adrift in the middle of the Indian Ocean, about 2,000 miles east of Madagascar, 2,000 miles west of Australia, and it looks like they've found her, which is terrific. That's the last time that they knew where she was. It's been a couple of days now. They've been scrambling for search and rescue efforts after they learned about the emergency. And it was just after they had spoken to her last a couple of days ago. And I wonder if she'll come back now. If the Australians have her, if they find her, I wonder if she'll come back or stay on schedule. Because the whole global thing was, she was supposed to keep going until I think August. Sometime in August she would have been able to say that she had gone to all those ports and had been able to navigate around the world, basically. So you got planes and boats and everybody was scrambling to get her, and the Australian crew, I think, got to her first. Whew. We end on a positive note. How about that, fans?